Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everyone. We thank God for another day that He has given us of His mercy and shared His grace upon us, His love and kindness, to let us be a part of this day that He has protected and guided us and kept us safe throughout. I'd like to say to all of you out there listening and the ones that may call in, happy Valentine's Day to each and every one of you. And God bless each and every one. We're thanking the Lord for giving us another opportunity to be a part of this live ministry program. We're thanking God for giving us the opportunity to just talk about His word and His grace and His mercy and His love for us and His Son Jesus, all that He's done to give us an opportunity to live throughout eternity. We thank Him for the free gift of salvation for anybody that truly wants it and is sincere to want to live by the will and the word of God. We're going to have our prayer tonight. We're going to pray for the sick and the needy. Pray for the people over where the earthquake hit. So many lives was lost and so many people still being found and going through. Children without families, without homes, without mothers and fathers. Families without lost loved ones. God's trying to get everybody's attention. So much is going on around the world right now. If people will just sit back and pay attention and see the things that's going on outside of COVID, which has gone in, has not gone anywhere, it's still people suffering from COVID-19. Other diseases and things that is going on around the world, killings, mass shootings, people don't care about anything. And they just continue to do the evil of the enemy. And we're just God's children trying to share and do our best to let everyone know that salvation is free. Salvation is for each and every one of us. God has made a way through His Son, Jesus, for us, the lost, to get it right. Each and every day that He shares a new day of His mercy on us, it gives us another opportunity to say, Lord, forgive me, help me, and get it right. All it takes is repentance, admitting that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is that Savior. And He will come into your life, and all you have to do is be willing to welcome Him into your life, make a change in life for the better, and ask Him to help guide you to the right surroundings, the right people, the right church, the right ministry, to be able to help you grow in Christ Jesus. We're going to have our prayer requests. We're going to pray for the sick and the needy, the bereaved family, all of this mess going on around the world with the people around and about Russia and the people there, the Ukrainians. We just want to continue to pray for the incarcerated, the police force. We want to continue to remember them in our prayers. There's a lot of good been done. There's a lot of bad been done. And that's within anybody, not just our police force. That's within our leaders, spiritually, unspiritually, with our homes, not leading in the right way, man, not stepping up, being the man that God has chosen them to be. We have children that's doing any and everything, getting by with it within the home, and the parents not stepping up, teaching them in the way that they should and leading them in the way of Christ. We have so much going on right now, sickness, just sin. Our leaders, world leaders, and we're just going to continue to pray for our world leaders, each and every one, spiritual leaders, home leaders, leaders in any place that they may be leading, that they will lead in the right way. And we're going to just continue to pray for our sick and the needy, our families. Our precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now, humbling ourselves, thanking you, Lord, for so much that you've already done and that you continue to do, Lord, as we continue to fail each day of our life. But the good thing about life, Lord, if you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you get to have life eternity. But if not, eternal damnation. But Lord, you've given each and every one a chance, dear God, through and by your Son. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you have already done and you continue to do. People seeing things, trying to get people's attention, to open up people's eyes, to understand that so much is happening in this old world now. We're getting closer and closer to the end day by day. Help us, Lord, to continue to serve you wholeheartedly and continue to do your will. Let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us that we may listen and not hinder the Spirit. We ask, dear God, that you bless us and strengthen us in areas in our life spiritually that we need to be blessed and strengthened in. It's an everyday process, dear God, and we're learning day by day that this life takes every moment, every second, thought on Jesus, to be able to get by and to go through. There's nothing, Lord, that you don't know. There's nothing that you can't do. We depend on you, Lord, for our help. Love deep down inside of our hearts, Lord. You're long-suffering. You continue to give chance after chance, dear God. And people seem to just keep on turning away. We're praying for our families tonight, Lord. We want them saved, dear God. But all we can do is share your word with them and pray for them. And, Lord, it's up to them to take the initiative to do what thus saith the Lord. We pray for each and every request that has been spoken tonight. All of the people over in the earthquake that has lost loved ones and still struggling to find loved ones. The people that are doing the rescues, we ask that you bless them with the long hours that they're having to go through, trying to find people through all of the mess that's there. We ask that you bless this nation, dear God, our nation leaders, world leaders, our ministry, dear God, their families and loved ones, as they continue to go through and do God's will. Lord, we give you glory, honor, and praise tonight. asking you to help us to understand that you are the main and the only source to see us through what we need, and that we'll look to you when troubles come, when hard times come, when we can't depend on no one else, Lord. We know we can depend on you. So help us to share the love and the word. We'll be careful to give your name the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Glory be to God. We thank you, Lord, right now as we get prepared to get the program started. We thank all of our listeners tonight, all of our callers tonight. We just want to do our best to share the word of God. And I got to thinking about something. And the world. The world. John, 1 John 2 and 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's many people that claiming to love the Lord. There's many people claiming to pray for you that's not living for the Lord, but still out in the world doing worldly things. But this right here tells me, the Bible verse says, love not the world. We may live in the world, but love not of the things of the world. We have a duty as Christians that we have to live up to what the word says. We have to walk in the way of Christ. We have to let people see that there have been a change made in our everyday life when we accept our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into our lives. And if people's not seeing that, and you're still doing the worldly things as you speak out, telling people, well, I pray for you, I love the Lord, but yet still you out in the world acting a fool, doing the things of the world as if it doesn't matter, hadn't make a change in life, still living out the same life that you had already lived. And this Bible verse, it points out the sin, the love, and the Father. The sin in this verse says, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, neither adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminated or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor covetousness, nor drunken, nor revellers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9 and 10. Then it goes back to the love of that verse. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaineth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinking no evil. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 and 5. That's the love that's shown in that verse. And then it points out the Father. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Psalms 103, verse 13. So it points out three different things within that verse: sin, love, and the Father. And the verse goes as is again. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, which is the sin. If any man love the world, there goes that love, the love of the Father is not in him. There goes the Father part. So sin, love, and Father, it mentions all in that one verse. Tells you about the sin verse of it that you can find. And all of this is coming from the King James Version of the Word of God. So what we find, we have to live different than the people of the world when you become a child of God. Our lives have to show a difference from the outside world of the people that we see that's not serving Christ, because they're saying, they're doing any and everything. It doesn't matter. And we don't want to be deceived, because you have a lot of people out in the world. They read the Bible. Some of them has been Christians before and know a little bit about the Bible, have turned and went back out into the world, backslidden. And we don't want to be deceived by people that feel that they know the Word of God, as if they tell you something and you're not studying, you're not reading, you're not going to church listening to the Word and researching God's Word to learn more about it for yourself to know. To whereas when someone says something, you know that you know that you know this is wrong. This is not the Word of God. Some people will try to deceive you in a way just to see where you stand when it comes to the Word of God. But we know better, because the Bible lets us know that we have to do this. This is our job. We have to study God's Word. We have to read God's Word. We have to continue to do research. Don't stop at just reading the Word. Get an understanding. We may have all the knowledge in the world, but if we don't have understanding to come along with it, we don't have anything. So we know that we have to continue to read the Word of God and do the things that the Word tells us to do and not the world tells us to do. It says, John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So in this verse here, we got encouragement. We've got peace. We've got overcoming. So let's see what verse we get for the encouragement of what's given us. It is 1 Thessalonians verse 5, chapter 11, says, wherefore, comfort yourself together and edify one another, even as also ye do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Then we go back to this same verse and we find the peace in this verse. And it says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That's Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. Then we have overcoming in this verse where it says, I have overcome the world. Okay, this is going to be the verse that we just read, John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations. So he's saying in him you have peace, but in the world you're going to have tribulations. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He's overcome the world through his hanging on the cross, shedding his blood, through his burial, and through the resurrection. He's overcome it all. He knows what we suffer for. He knows what we go through. He knows how much we can go through. And he continues to see us through it all. We can get down so low sometimes in life that it feels like we're not going to be lifted up. But Jesus has already taken care of all of this. If we keep our focus on him and where it needs to be, we can make it too. Because he's already let us know he has overcome the world. And if he hadn't overcome this world, do you think we would have an opportunity or a chance to be able to live out through this great love and salvation that was offered unto us? We wouldn't be able to do it. I have another verse here I want to read, and we're going to get some comments and open up the mics. For though we walk in the flesh, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The life part of it says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalms 121, verses 7 and 8. And then we're going to get a little bit of understanding from this verse. And it says, let's see. Okay, the understanding of it a little bit better says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. Lets us know that we can understand and call on the Lord. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The Lord lets us know that we have to call on him to be able to overcome every and anything that we may face in this world. It doesn't mean we're not going to have trouble. It doesn't mean we're not going to go through having trials and temptations. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy sometimes. We have to continue to trust the Lord and hold on no matter what. We just can't give up and let go. If we do, have nothing to look forward to in this world but death throughout eternity. So once we come and the Lord gives us this understanding and lets us know, long as we hold fast and trust in Him and continue to live out through His will and His way, we can make it, no matter how hard it may seem. You've heard people testify and say, well, the Lord has done this for me, the Lord has done that for me. I've heard Bishop Armstrong say, well, what are we doing for the Lord? The Lord has done. The Lord's been doing. What are we doing for the Lord? Are we sharing His word? Are we living the life that He has set before us? Are we continuing on this journey and trusting in Jesus? Or are we just out there living in a world full of nothing and sin? I work with a lot of people that claim to be a Christian, and I don't judge anybody. I just speak of what I see, you know. I'm just seeing the fruit that's supposed to be before me is not adding up to be the fruit that it's supposed to be. So when I see that, it's not judging. I'm just a fruit inspector. If it's a good fruit, it's a good fruit. If it's not a good fruit, it's not a good fruit. And when you see people saying that they have the love of Jesus in them, and they're cursing, they're getting upset all the time, mad at people, fussing, and causing confusion, but yet still you can say that you're a child of God, well, where's the fruit in the whole situation? I have to see a change before I believe there's a change. If I don't see that change, and as we talk, too, on the job, we talk about how good the Lord is, the things that people's going through, how He's blessed this one and that one and everything. Oh, when it's all good, yeah, everybody's happy and well. But I see some of them fly off of the handle when it gets bad, and they start using words that they shouldn't say. They start treating people in a way that they shouldn't treat them. They start loud talking people that they shouldn't loud talk. That's not of Christ. That's of the world. And then they walk back to me and they say, well, I'm sorry, you know, I said certain things. I need you to pray for me. But we let them know, we're praying. You have to live the life that God has called you to live. You need to pray and ask Him to help you with some of these things that you're having problem with too. But one day you asked Him for prayer, the next day you're right back in the same state of mind. Then you asked Him for prayer again. Well, the thing is, it lets me know that we're praying and we want to see the change in you, but you don't want to see the change in yourself because you're not taking heed on the Word of God, living by the Word of God, being led by the Spirit of God, trusting in Jesus to be able to help you through these situations in life. And until you get that state of mind sincerely deep down inside, you won't change. You're so used to the worldly things that you feel like you're trying to put both of them together, but that's not how this walk of salvation works. If we want it, we can get it. If you want it, you got to be sincere about it. You got to come deep from the heart and not just ask about it. You got to be about it. You got to trust the Lord at all times. You got to ask Him to help you and be sincere. You want that help, not just for a short time, but for as much as He'll give it to you and as much as you need it. We have to ask for that help. And when He gives us that help, because I know for sure, for a fact, in my life from experience, if you call on Jesus, the song says, if you call on Jesus, he'll answer prayer. If your heart is sincere enough and you call on Jesus, he will answer that prayer. It seems like sometimes you're not going to make it and you don't think that he'll do it. And before you know it, he'll be done did something in your life and you don't even realize it. And you start to thinking, well, I don't even know when that happened. But I know Jesus did it. That's the love he has for us that love him. If we be obedient to what he has given us to be obedient to. This verse, I'm going to read one more verse and open up the mics. Mark 16, verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. He didn't say some. He said every. Okay. We have obedience verse to this. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 14:23. That's letting you know if you really love me, you're sincere. He's letting you know what he'll do for you. But you got to be sincere. You just can't take it to heart and feel like, well, I ain't gonna worry about it. Okay, evangelism of this verse says, this is Acts chapter 13, verse 47 says, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shalt be for salvation unto the end of the earth. Now, he's letting us know some things within these verses. Okay, I'm going to read this Mark 16, verse 15 one more time, and then we're going to go to Jesus. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, now we're going to read Mark 10, verse 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. All things are possible. He letting you know, how much do we love the Lord tonight? Each and every one that may be out there listening or thinking about it or going through some trials and some tests. You know, we have a lot of young people out there hurting tonight. A lot of young women, a lot of young men hurting, don't know which way to turn. And they need someone to encourage them, to talk to them, to let them know there's a better way besides killing people, besides taking yourself out. Give Jesus a chance. Try him one time, and I guarantee he can turn some things around in your life that you could never imagine. Like it said, with men it might be impossible, but with God, all things, it says, are possible. It didn't say some things. So until you give him a try to see if all things are possible through Christ our Lord and Savior, you'll never be able to find out. So we encourage the young people, when things is going bad in your life, find you a quiet spot. You don't have to let people see you. You're going through something, you go to a quiet spot, get down on your knees and talk to the Lord. I guarantee you, he'll answer prayer. You'll be able to have a funny feeling that may come all over you. and you'll know that Jesus is working in your life. All you have to do is open up to him. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. Admit that you know you're a sinner, but Lord, I need a Savior. I need help. And you are the source of all help. And then you find somebody, once you accept him, that you can talk to spiritually. Don't go out to somebody in the world. They ain't going to do nothing but try to pull you back out into the world. You find you a spiritual counselor that may be willing to help you, talk to you, encourage you to lead you in the right direction to Christ and the Word of God. And I guarantee you there'll be a change for the better that will come up into your life, because Jesus is the answer. He is the way. He is the truth, the life. He is the true Word of God. And we can trust him at every word and every promise. Good evening, callers. Praise the Lord. I got the mics open. Any thing that anyone might want to say or add or whatever that they may want to speak out on?
Yeah, good evening.
Praise the Lord. Good evening.
A couple of things that came to me as you were talking. Let's go back to the beginning. Whenever you started out, you talked about the world and being in the world and all of that. And what I came in my spirit is the fact that you were talking about the actual physical, and what came to my mind was the fact that we were also told that we think. If we sit and dwell on it, that we have sinned already. And
yes.
I couldn't find that scripture I was looking for, but I went to Romans 8:5-6. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. But to set your mind on the flesh is death. But to those, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember as a growing up in the church, the pastor would always say, well, thought about it, you already committed the sin.
Yeah.
And they never really sat down and explained to you what they were saying. And that came to me as you opening, and with that scripture and what you were saying, so many of us who say we are Christian and who we profess to be, but and we give people the impression that we are living the right life, but in our quiet time, our mind is back on that which we, where we've been. And,
so true.
And that still has a hold on us, and that we need to figure out how to break it. Because if we
don't
break that hold, we are not living the Christian life. We are not living as a follower of the teaching of Jesus. We're living a lie. And you know, if we just need to sit down and think about all of this. And the other one that came to me is family. Family. You need to learn this in the family. And that's what the topic of this, the theme is about family. What has the family done for us? And we think about it. And most of the time, we only find a bunch of negatives, and we dwell on the negatives because the negatives agree with what we are doing and we say that we got this from our family, the way I was raised. And what does that say about you now? And,
that's right.
And we all can look back and see some things that happened when we were kids, and we can. But if we know the Word of God, and like you also said, study. You know, you're not studying the Word. You don't know the Word.
That's
faith
right.
comes by hearing the Word, not what somebody else said the Word is, but
that's right.
what the actual Word says itself. And so that we have lost in the home. In the home.
That's right.
The home, you don't find that in the home anymore.
No, you don't.
People are too busy now. And people are busy watching television. And it's really, really a challenge now when you look at it. I know Sunday on my radio broadcast, we gave a tribute to the mothers, to the women in our lives.
Yeah.
And
yes.
we had people on from Georgia, and there was another place they were on from. But they talked about their mothers and their grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe somebody that was in the community. Normally, and I set the tone for it because my whole thing, we heard about Martin Luther King. We heard about
yeah.
all these other people. We heard about Rosa Parks. What about somebody that's close to you? And
Amen.
It was amazing. It was amazing what was said in that hour. And it was one person, she confessed, she just stated that her family, her mama, wasn't all of that. She didn't get all this from her mama because her mama wasn't all of that. However,
right.
she knew that that wasn't the way that she was going to be. And she didn't sit there. She could have been like these people who done committed a crime, and everybody crying about, oh, that came out of a bad family. What is their responsibility? Did they not know that there was consequences for their action that they took before they took it?
Sure no.
And this person was saying that she had raised two sons. She didn't have daughters. And how she taught them. And she also gave a shout to her grandmama, the one that sort of guided her and got her, but her mama put her in church. It was interesting. And
yeah.
as it was all about the family. When we sit down and we think about it, and even my thing about my mama was she took the desire to drink out of my mouth, out of my mind. One day we were there, I was home from college, and my father said, how are you going to be a pastor and you drinking? Well, he didn't know that I told God I was going to be no pastor. My thing was that I'll make a commitment to work for the poor. But the thing my mama said, I never forgot. And she said, if you're going to drink, I'd rather for you drink in the house than drink in the street. And, you know, that just took that fun of drinking in the street and acting crazy out.
Right.
I had an option. I could drink in the house. I ain't had to go out there to drink. So I didn't drink in the house. So I cut back on drinking out there in the street. Family. It's little things that family saves and family does and you see in the family. that's just as important as the other stuff. There was plenty of negatives that I could have followed, but that was the thing. Yeah, I didn't like that old granddad that my father drank, so he didn't have to worry about me opening his bottle, and I didn't like camel cigarettes, so he didn't worry about me smoking his cigarettes.
Yeah, a lot of them smoked them camels back then, too.
That's right. That's right. But the thing is, family, that's what stuck with me out of family.
Yeah.
Even though I was raised by my grandparents, and even then, my aunt. You know what I remember from my aunt? My aunt knew that we're going to be going to the pub and be drinking and all that. She said, do not leave your glass and come back to it. She said, if you do that, get a new one.
Right.
And the other thing that she said, these little girls are fast. So you make sure you put something on that thing. Hey, you know,
that's
it was little stuff like that. That a lot of people look down on it and say, well, you shouldn't be out there doing fornicating anyway. Well, you know,
I mean, you're young, and that's what
right.
You're out there thinking about. Everybody else is doing
yep.
the same thing. So you want to be with the crowd. You want to do what the crowd's doing. And like you said, the little young girls, they was fast. And there wasn't many times that they come on a man and a man say no. You know.
That's right.
That was the thing back then. And the family had to be the ones. If the family didn't teach you or say anything, then you didn't worry about none of that stuff. Sometimes you'd hear it from other friends, family, that they was telling
friends,
them.
Yep.
And you'd pay attention to what they were saying, and you was like, well, I don't, my mind don't never tell me nothing like that, so I don't worry about it, you know. So you go out there and you follow the rest of the crowd and just do what they're doing. But like you said, family, it has to start within the family to learn and know to whereas as you're learning and you're doing, it don't mean that you're going to continue to follow those rules, but it makes you think a lot better when you hear things that they're telling you, and that you're growing up to be around people, and the things you see, you think about it sometimes. Even though you may go ahead and do a little bit of it anyway, you're still thinking about things that have been told you as you go through it. So, like you said, we learn from family. We learn from friends, families, all around. Because back then, family was a lot more important back then than it is now. Because it's hard for family to pull together now. And back then, families pulled together. They did things together. They watched out for each other's children. Whatever the situation, it didn't matter. They leave the home, leave the doors open. Didn't have to worry about things too much sometimes, depending on where you live. And, you know, just a lot of that sunk in and just took in. But when you got out there running with the boys and everything, and there was women out there, you have two or three running this one young lady down, and she's happy that somebody's looking at her, then, you know, all three of you's got it on your mind, you know, and you're running after her. So things happen, and that's the way things get started in the world. So when we become of age, we have to look at things in a different manner. And once we get tired of that old world and make a change in our life for Christ, you know, I lived the best that I could out there in the world and enjoyed everything I was doing then when I was doing it. And did it to the best that I could to do it better than anybody else. If they did it, I wanted to do it better. But when I received Christ into my life, I said, I put all the effort out into the world. Help me, Lord, to put more effort into you as I serve you. And if I can put part of the effort in serving the Lord that I put out into the world, then just maybe, maybe I can make it, because I'm trusting him for everything now, and I'm learning more and more today. So we have to continuously keep our focus on family, loved ones, because we don't continue to tell them about Christ, teach them about Christ, and we have to continue to let them know, and we got to move on. We can't just keep pushing it on them, though, you know, because every time they see you coming, they're going to say, oh, no, here they come again. It's just time for me to go. They coming with that Jesus stuff again. I'm tired of hearing it. Been through it on them so much, they keep on hearing it. They get tired of hearing it. But you got to be willing to carry on conversations, the little things you carry on. And you and Jesus, you know, the Lord always makes space to bring something in when you're talking to people. There's a time and space that he gives you that may come about that you can talk a little bit about the Lord and you can talk a little bit about other things. But there's always space and time to share some Jesus into somebody's life. And a lot of people, they override a person to whereas they're tired of just hearing the same thing over and over again. But if you add a little bit here, a little bit there, it falls right in with the talking that you're talking. You don't have to be talking bad. You can have a good conversation and put Christ in it every now and then to just mix it in. So I've learned back then, quite come from people. I see them coming, I was like, oh, no. I'd dip into the stores and hide and everything else when I seen them coming. I didn't want to hear it. I was played out with it. Even though I knew, you know, because I grew up and my mom was a Christian woman and she made sure we went to church, Sunday school, Bible study, and all of that. But some people, they just rode it on you. And you got tired of hearing them because that's all they wanted to preach. And sometimes you see them not living up to the things they was telling you. So why did I want to listen to them?
True.
I was like, well, I won't listen to these people. They're telling me something they're not even doing and telling me I ought to be ashamed of myself. Where's the shame in their game? You know, I used to look at it like that. Now I can see for myself because I live it now that I have to be real with it. I don't have time to play those games the way that I've seen people play. And once you begin to read the Word of God, you preach the Word of God, you study the Word of God, and you research the Word of God, you begin to learn the true way to live for the Lord. And once you get it into you, and it takes time to learn and get it in you, but once you get it in you, you want to share it more and more and more and more. Because the more you read and study and research, the better it gets. So I can see the way that people nowadays, they feel that the young people's going to put them down more when they come to them. But what they don't understand, there's a lot of young people out there wanting to hear something about Christ. But we don't have enough people out there willing to step out and talk to them about Christ. We've got to get to that point to where we can talk to young people, carry on a little conversation in life, and make it fun to them about laughing and talking, and then put a little Jesus into their life. And, you know, we don't know where that might take them to. But we can't be afraid to talk to these young people because they're acting crazy and doing all kind of crazy stuff. Some of them might not have even heard about the goodness of the Lord and needing to hear something that might just bring focus on it to them. But it's up to us to share more of it with them and encourage them. Jesus loves you, man. I love you too. I try to put that in there, you know, when I talk to some of them. Hey, Jesus loves you, man. I love you too. Or either I turn around, man, I love you. Jesus loves you too. And, you know, try to throw it in there on them, and they look at me, some look at me a little funny or whatever, but that's all right. they heard something about Jesus today. Might have not been much, mm-hmm. but they heard that name that means so much to this world. And that's what counts. Just to hear it, the next time you might hear a little bit more about it. So
yeah,
we have to focus on this and share it at all costs. All right, brother, we have a few more minutes. Sir, you have any comments you'd like to make? Yeah, I believe the brother's just listening a little bit tonight. Yeah, we have your mic open would like to say anything. Yeah, go right ahead. The mic's open if you'd like to say anything.
Shalom, family.
All right, shalom.
Yeah, just resting up and taking it easy and trying to gather in some information that may be useful for me that I can pass along to somebody else. You know, because I don't know it all. I can't tell people because I don't know. So just trying to get as much information that I can while I'm able to.
Yes.
The ministry, it's really rewarding to hear because, it makes a person want to learn, as you said earlier. You know, once you get into it and you get to reading and get a little bit of understanding, it's like, well, wait a minute, this is interesting, you know?
Yes,
and,
it
helps to keep you strong, and the word has life, you know, and, and that's what we need, life. We need the life.
Yes, we do.
Especially in this sinful and perverse world, you know, we
yes,
need something.
Lord.
We definitely need something we can cling to, you know. And I thank God for you, brother. I thank God for the bishop, the apostle, also.
Thank the Lord for you too, brother.
Thank
God for allowing this to happen for us.
Yes.
And
to open up the big hole.
That's
how we learn. It's from one another.
Yes. Yes, sir. And we can't sit back and say, well, ain't nobody told me. We have to reach out.
If we
want to know something out there for us, it's not being hidden. Just like when Jesus was here, he said he didn't do anything in private or hidden. Everything was
wide open.
So,
yes.
So we have to be, as they call it, transparent, you know,
mm-hmm.
like playing games and go for it. If we really want something, we'll go for it. But people need to stop playing games and get out the way because it may be blocking somebody else, you know.
That's right.
But I'm truly thankful for being able to listen in on these ministry shows. You know, it's a great thing that somebody's doing something, not necessarily for their own people, but everybody.
That's right.
And it's not that you guys are talking about your own people specifically. In general, because God, he has no respect of person for anybody.
That's right.
So why should we?
That's true.
That's right.
Why should we? You know, we need to get rid of the favorites and just be and just include everything and everybody, you know, as one. There's no man, there's no woman, there is no Greek, there's no Jew. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We're all one in one in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's separation from the world. But I truly, truly thank you for giving me a moment to say something. I'm just, as I said, just taking it easy. Taking it easy, getting ready for the next step or the next level that God comes. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, we have about 27 seconds. We're going to take it out in prayer and just go ahead and put it in God's hands because he knows.
Before you take it out, what was coming to me is that maybe we need a workshop. Now, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I was listening, and a workshop for people who I don't know exactly that that's part that came to me because the new vision has changed. Whenever I first started, I was not an apostle. I was consecrated bishop, but not as an apostle. But see, to me, a bishop is a little different from the way that I grew up seeing bishops. Bishop was the one that was always in authority and always doing that in the United Methodist denomination. But whenever you look at it biblically, a bishop supposed to just help that pastor organize their ministry, not the way that I grew up on. And you got a bishop, got all these churches under them, and everybody looking up to the bishop. But that's not the biblical understanding, as I read the scripture, that the purpose of the disciples created that office of a bishop.
Yes.
But as an apostle, I was talking to one of the prophets that's at Barbara Scotia, and he brought it clear to me that everything has shifted now. It's shifting. Mm-hmm. And that as an apostle, one should be seeing things differently. One should be doing things a little bit different for the people. Because I told her, I said, this is my ministry. This is what God gave me. The radio was my ministry. Because she was saying that most apostles, they have these churches and all that. But that's not my case. That's not where God put me. And maybe I think it's time, just listening a workshop on the transition or the shift, where God is shifting, because as you were talking about young people, I read this article, how young people and people in general are not going to church anymore. They are not becoming Christians anymore. The percentage is way, way down. And here, even though we are on the radio, God has allowed us to be in many, many countries on this earth. So any suggestion, anybody who's listening out there on the computer or radio, I mean a telephone, the email address is talkingdrums12@gmail.com. If the Holy Spirit has spoke to you that we need to do something a different way, just send me an email, and I will definitely begin to think about that workshop, because you remind me of that article I read. People are falling away from the church. They're not there. And you were saying that people need something now to hold on to. People need a word. Need a word. And if we got the word and given the word out correctly, then people will hold on. People have something.
That's the main thing, giving it out correctly.
Yeah. I thank y'all for the I was listening. It was an eye opening, an ear opening, because I was trying to put myself in a position of people who are listening to the broadcast.
Yes.
All right.
And the thing
is, I just wanted
to
put that out there.
That's what it's all about when we come on here. God has opened your eyes to call people to come in to this program ministry. And the thing about it is, when God has given you something to invite the people into, it's up to the people to follow the lead which you have already given, to give the word straight out from the word of God, truthfully and honestly, to the best of their ability. And it's up to, like I said, it's up to us to read the word, study the word, research the word, to ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us to give the word the way that it should be given to the people. Because if we're led by the Spirit of God, we don't know which way we might be led. We might have our mindset on one thing, and the Holy Spirit stopped us and said, no, this is the direction that he wants us to go. And then we have to follow the lead by the Spirit of God. Because one thing I've learned, the Holy Spirit will lead you and give you words to say when you don't have nothing in your thought or mind of what you're going to say. But he will give you something to say. So you got to be led by the Spirit of God at all times in what you do. Pray for it. Ask the Lord for it. And that's what we have to do at all times, pray for it and ask the Lord to help us through this process, because this is something serious. It's nothing to play with. When we come on this broadcast, we're not on here to play. We're on here to be honest. We're not on here to act as if we're better than anybody, smarter than anybody, but we have to give it to you directly from the Word of God, how the Spirit leads, and continue to just share it with each and every one in that way. So I thank God for the opportunity that I took so long to open up and say yes for. But to God be the glory, he finally got my attention, and it was time to answer the call. So I do thank, you know, the bishop for the opportunity that God has led him to have the people that he's had on these programs, because it's truly a honor and a blessing to me to be able to listen and learn things, you know, because everybody has a different thought, the way that the Spirit may lead them that may help someone else. And that's what it's all about. So we do thank you. Well, we're going to go ahead and end then, and we'll just go ahead and say shalom and thank God for everything.
Yes, sir. Shalom.
Shalom.
Yes. Shalom to everyone. God bless. Yes.